Want to let you know that this Sunday we're having our dinner. And if you don't have any plans this Sunday, you're welcome to attend. It's our dinner, and it'll follow our service. And we always have a dinner in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and it's going to be a great time. There's going to be great food, a lot of fun, and good fellowship. Amen. So I want to make you aware about that. And then we have these little animals that you see around here. Of course, these are all puppets. But, I'm just showing this as an example. And what we have here is we have a little card around these animals. And it says, "Hi, I'm a gift from your friends at Victor Christian Fellowship." It has our church information and our phone number. And what you want to do with this is give these away. Of course, not these, but others that you see. And it's a way to start conversations. It's a way to be a blessing, and it's a way to reach out to people. Amen? And we make evangelism so easy that we give you, Rhema has their faith friends. You know, I don't know what we'd call these. But anyway, they're available for you if you want to take one and give it away. The whole purpose is to give it away to someone and be a blessing and share the gospel. Amen? And it'll be a great gift. Victory Critters. And then we are, for the month of December, we're going to be going to the Twin Oaks Nursing Home in Campbelltown. And for every Sunday at 2 o'clock, except for the 6th, because of our dinner. But every Sunday after that, if you want to join us at the Twin Oaks Nursing Home at 2 p.m., you can do that on Sundays. And we're going to be doing for the month. And then for the women, the Woven meeting is coming up on the 12th. But at 9 o'clock on the Woven Day, if you're married, there's going to be special prayer that's going to go forth for your husbands if you're married. So that's 9 o'clock. And then the Woven meeting at 10 is open to all the women. But at 9 o'clock, it's for married women for prayer. So if you want to come to that, it's going to be great. And then, of course, our teens will be meeting on the 8th. On a Tuesday. So you excited about the word? I'm going to set the critters there. Maybe I'll use one of them to help me preach. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And for some of this will be a review of things. I just want to talk about the new you. Did you know that you're a new you? Say, I'm a new me. You knew the old me, but I'm a new me. And in Matthew chapter 9, and we'll start with verse 14. He said, "Then the disciples of John came to him saying, 'Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?' And Jesus said to them, 'Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast.'" Then I want you to pay attention to verses 16 and 17. "No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskin is ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." How many know that God just doesn't do patchwork? When he does something, he does something brand new. He takes the old way of living and he replaces it with something new. And he gave this illustration here. If you were to put new wine into an old wineskin, now an old wineskin is one that is brittle, it's hard, it's not flexible. Okay? And if you were to put new wine into a container like that, it will burst and you'll lose what's on the inside. But new wine requires a new wineskin, one that is pliable, one that is flexible, one that can go with what is new. All right? And so I want to talk a little bit about the new you. And there's some new things that God does. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about that. You know, he creates a new man. And he likes to, you know, God is a creator. He's very creative. He likes to do new things, you know. And God has new ways of doing things. We don't have to do the way we do things throughout history, because sometimes God wants to do something new. Did God ever heal people the same way? Time and time again. You know, you could say, okay, well, if he's going to do this, then this is going to be the result. You never knew how God was going to heal a person. It could be through a command. It could be through the laying on of hands. It could be through different means. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. It could be putting clay in their eyes and different things. God used different methods for healing, because every time it was in that particular situation, it was what the Holy Spirit led him to do. And when Israel was in the wilderness and they were longing for bread, what did God do? He gave manna. And how often did that manna appear? Every day. And if you were to gather more than what was required, what would happen to the excess? It would rot and it would smell bad, except on the Sabbath. The only day that you could gather extra was on the Sabbath, but he gave fresh manna every day. So every day when they woke up, there was fresh manna. It was new, all right? It was fresh for that day. Aren't you glad that God's not a stale baker, you know? He makes fresh things. He doesn't just reuse the old things. Okay? And the new man is raised from death to life. He's strengthened and renewed by the Holy Spirit. He's called by a new name. And he's given a new song or a new purpose to fulfill. Okay? So we used to find our identity in other things. Things that we did. Positions that we held. Places that we came from. Groups of people that we're a part of. But now, when a person comes to Christ, where should our identity be found? It should be in Christ. We should now be identified with Christ and with what he's done. And that word identity, it means the collective aspect. I just looked up Webster's dictionary. The collective aspect of the characteristics by which a thing is distinctly recognizable or known. It's the set of characteristics that defines you as a member of a group. And to identify means to establish the identity of, or to find out the origin, or the nature, or the definitive elements of, or to consider similar and identical. All right? Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. This passage of Scripture is one of my favorites. I have many, many, many favorites, but this is one of them. I love this passage of Scripture. Every time I read it, it excites me. 2 Peter chapter 1 and we'll begin with verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. How many know that God's into multiplication? He's into acceleration. He's into progress and he's into growth. Okay? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So God, grace and peace gets multiplied when you begin to know God and to know Jesus Christ more and more. How many know that God's got so many facets and so many aspects and so many characteristics that it's going to take you more than a lifetime to find them all? You'll never get to the bottom of the Word because the Word is alive. It's living. So grace and peace is multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these, through the great and precious promises, what happens? You may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through love. What does it mean to partake of the divine nature? If Julie baked a pie, and I would say, Julie, I want to partake of that pie. What does that mean? That means that I'm going to get a piece of that pie, right? I want to partake in it. I want to taste it. I want to join in. I want to share some of that. To partake in the divine nature means you share in the nature of the Lord. You share in His life. You share in His power. You share in His glory because He allows you to do that. All right? You can be a partaker of His divine nature. We tell people, well, maybe not all of us tell them, but you can tell people, I'm a Christian. What does that mean? It means that I am like Christ. And that's how it should be. When we tell people we're a Christian, that means we are identifying with Christ, with who He is, with what He's done, and His effect on my life. I am now identifying myself with Him. And rightly so, because we can partake of His divine nature. Okay? And go with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And look at verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So isn't that awesome how God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts? He gives us His nature. He gives us His ability, His grace. That's His ability. He gives us His ability. He gives us His power. He gives us His wisdom. And we can partake of that. And the partaking of that makes us a new you. It takes the old and it does away with the old. It totally eradicates the old. And something now exists that is brand new. It's not refurbished. It's not painted over, but it's brand new. It's a whole new creature. Say, I'm a new creature. I have a new feature. You're starring in a new role, by the way. Did you know that? It's called Fulfilling God's Will, Part 1. And you are the main part to play in that. And all you got to do to fulfill God's will is follow the script. This is how you walk in the new way of living. The Bible says that Jesus made a way for us, a new and living way, through a new and fresh anointing or a new door. And we can walk in the newness of life. Aren't you glad that you can walk in the newness of life? Life can be fresh every day. Okay? But we have to know our origin, where we came from. And we're no longer slaves, but we're sons, we're daughters, we're heirs. We are joint heirs with Christ. You know what a joint heir is? If Jeremiah and I were joint heirs, that means we would share our inheritance. Whatever we inherited, we would split it between the both of us. But see, now we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means whatever Jesus gets, we get the same thing because we're joint heirs with him, together with him. Okay? So we've been made sons and daughters by faith. All right? We get born again. You know, we were all born once, but then we got born again. How do we get born again? We made Jesus Christ our Lord. We asked him to come into our life, and something changed on the inside of us. We became a new creature. All right? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Sometimes it's good to go back over some basic things. If it doesn't help you, then you can use it to help someone else. Amen? Verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is what? In Christ. Well, in order to be in Christ, are you in this building right now? How did you get in? Did anybody come in through the window? No, you came in through the door, through the entranceway. Didn't Jesus say that I am the door of the sheepfold? And if you try to get to God any other way, you're a thief and a robber. You can only come in through the door. Okay? So he says, if the key is being in Christ, identifying with Christ, finding your life in Christ now. You are hid in Christ. Christ becomes the main focus of your life. Christ becomes, you got to let Christ live his life through you. Because you are now identifying with Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is, not was, not will be, but is, a new creation or a new creature. Old things have what? Passed away. Paul is no longer Saul the murderer. He's now become Paul the apostle. He's not identified as a murderer anymore. In the beginning, he was, because that's all that people knew him by. But now he's Paul the apostle. Jacob is no longer the supplanter or the trickster. He's now the prince of God, Israel. See, these new names that occurred in the Old Testament are a type and a shadow of our new nature in Christ Jesus. I'm no longer a sinner. Why? Because the sin nature that was in me has been replaced with God's nature. Does that mean I don't sin? No, I can still sin. But it's that sin nature, that sin nature that used to dominate me no longer dominates me anymore because I'm free from the law of sin and death. Okay? I no longer have a sin nature, therefore I'm no longer a sinner. Because I don't identify myself with that old nature. I identify myself with a new nature. Okay? I don't live how I used to live because I live a different way. I don't speak the way I used to speak because I speak in a different way. I don't treat people like I used to treat people because I treat people in a different way because I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God will never take something away without replacing it with something new. God will never tell you to let go of something because he always has in mind something he wants to give you. But in order to get what he wants to give you, sometimes we got to let some things go. Amen? In other words, God is always into upgrading. He'll always take your old and make it new. You know, Daryl Evans sang a song called "I'm Trading My Sorrows, My Pain for Joy," or "My Sorrow for Joy." Isn't that what the Bible says? He'll give you beauty for ashes. See, before you might have had a pile of ashes. It was burnt up. It didn't look good. It wasn't appealing. But he'll take your ashes and he'll make something beautiful out of the ash. He'll make it something into brand new because he has the ability to do that because he's the creator. Old things are passed away. Behold, look, all things. How many things? All things have become what? New. So the new you. God made a new you. And you've got to choose to walk in the newness of life. You know, some people, when they get brand new, nothing else ever happens to them. They fall into the old way of doing things very easily because they don't develop the newness. They don't keep the scent fresh. How do you keep your scent fresh? You just constantly and continually and consistently go before God. Amen. You gather the manna every day. You live by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. See, now once you become a new creature, now he gives you a new place. You are now located in Christ. You are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. You now have a new function. You have a measure of faith. You've been given a grace. You've been given a gift. And now you can function in a different way. All right? Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 12. This is powerful. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Did you know that you've been qualified? You don't have to qualify. There's nothing that you can do to qualify on your own. You simply receive his qualifications that he's given you. And think of it this way. God has given you an honorary degree from the Holy Spirit University. You're an honorary degree holder. Okay? Notice what he did in verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, other translations say translated us, into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Notice, We were in darkness, but now we're not in darkness anymore. We're in light. We're in a different kingdom. We have a different ruler. We used to be ruled by Satan, but now we're ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. And you've got to, by faith, walk in the newness of life. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about don't get entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You could read Galatians. Don't get entangled again. Did you know that Satan is the one who tries to bring you back into the old stuff? Because that's where he could control you. That's where he could dominate you. That's where he could get in to your life, is through the old you. But the old you is dead. You're a new creature now. You're not old anymore. All right, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. God chose you. And you are part of a royal priesthood. He chose you and he made you royalty. And you're a holy nation. His own special people. Did you know that you're God's special person? Say, I'm special. God made you special. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, in the old way of living, there was a lot of complaining, murmuring, and grumbling. But in the new way of living, there's a lot of praising. You're praising the Lord for making you brand new. And that's part of singing the new song. You got to praise him. Verse 10, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Not only did he choose you and make you a royal priesthood and a holy nation and his own special people, but he made you holy. He gave you mercy. I'll tell you what, there's good things to be positioned in Christ. You've got to now position your life in Christ Jesus. You've got to now talk like him. You've got to now live like him. You've got to now walk like him. You've got to now worship like him. You've got to now be confident like him. You base your life now on Christ, not on what you used to do it before. You find your identity in Christ. You don't base your life on people's opinion. You base it on what the Word of God says about you. Because it's the Word of God that is the truth about you. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Talking about your position. Ephesians chapter 2. And start with verse 3. Blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Did you know that we're supposed to live a blameless life now? Part of walking in the newness of life is living a blameless life. That means you live above where people can blame you for anything. You're blameless. Say, it's not my fault. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise... Oh, you know, and I'm reading chapter 1. But that's good anyway. Let's go to chapter 2. And let's look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, where are you sitting now? Who made you to sit in heavenly places? Christ. Now, if you think of yourself as unworthy, you've got to change the way you think. Because you are not unworthy. God would not make any unworthy person sit with him in heavenly places in Christ. Think about it. You get to sit with Christ. You get to get his perspective on things. You're up here. You're above. You're not beneath. You're the head. You're not the tail. Can you say amen? This is part of walking in the newness of life. You're the new you. The new you is different from the old you. And our position is in Christ Jesus. We're seated with him in heavenly places. We have a place at his table. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He calls you to the banqueting table. Hallelujah. You've got a reservation at the banqueting table. Your name has been written in the guest book, in the book of life. You have a reservation. You're guaranteed a seat at the banqueting table. Come and dine, the master's calling. You have a place in the Father's house. Jesus said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. He's right now preparing a place for us. And when he comes back and we're raptured, we're going to be in that place. Amen? But that place is already being prepared for you. It's already getting ready for you. The new you. Glory to God. The new you has a new destination. We're citizens of heaven now. We're just passing through this earth. But while we're here, we've got to do what he wants us to do. Amen? You can't live slack here. You gotta live like Christ lived. That's who we're here to live for now. This is our identity now. We live as Christ lived. We do as Christ did. Amen? And then, of course, my favorite part is the benefits. You know, there are benefits of being a new person in Christ Jesus. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. So our origin is we get born or adopted into the family of God. We become a new creature. The minute a person is born again, they're a new creature. Then if I'm a new creature, why is life so hard? Because your flesh isn't new. You're a new person living in an old house. And your old house needs repair, talking about your flesh. Our flesh has to be renewed daily. It has to be subdued. Our mind has to be renewed daily. You know, and here's where the problem comes in. You're a new creature, but you're living according to what your flesh says and what your mind says. You got to change what you're following. Okay? You can't live according to what your flesh says or what your mind says. You got to let your spirit train your flesh and your mind to think godly. Paul said he had to do something every day. What was it? Come on, let's have crucifying flesh class. You think if I put an ad in the paper that we're going to have a class to crucify your flesh, boy, wouldn't that be well attended? Where does Christ live in you? Does he live in your mind? Does he live in your flesh? He lives in your spirit. You are a spirit. It is the spirit man or woman that have that has been made new, okay? But your body and your mind now, you have to let your spirit dominate your body and your mind. Prior to coming to Christ, it was the other way around. And for many, many years, we allowed our mind and our body to dictate what we do or what we don't do. But now we got to retrain ourselves, okay? But thank God that he's gotten benefits for us. And look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Does God want you to enjoy things? Yes. He wants you to enjoy things. Why? All things really came from him. All good and perfect gifts, James tells us, came from him, the Father of lights. But he doesn't want us to put our trust in things. We've got to trust God, and it's God who gives us richly all things to enjoy, as long as those things don't become an idol. When does a thing become an idol? When you start worshiping it. It becomes an idol. And then that thing now is taking the place of God, and that's not good. You're putting that thing then above the Lord. But it's God who gave us richly all things to enjoy. All right, go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 19. You know, in order to walk in the newness of life, you got to make choices. Sometimes you got to tell your flesh no. Sometimes you got to tell your mind. What does the Bible say about our mind? We have to bring into captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We've got to control our thoughts. Why? Because the enemy operates with thoughts. He tempts you with thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And just because you think a bad thought, you haven't sinned. Because a bad thought crosses your mind, okay? It's what you do with that thought. Do you dwell on it? Do you think about it? Do you meditate on that thought? The more you meditate on that thought, the quicker it'll become an action. But you got to reject thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. When you get thoughts of feeling unworthy, you got to reject that, because you're not unworthy. You're worthy. Christ's blood died for you. He bought you. He chose you. You are worthy. And you got to reject the thoughts that the enemy comes against you. You must reject them. God gave you power over the enemy. He gave you the ability to say no. Psalm 68. Verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Aren't you glad that we have a God who daily loads us with benefits? Are you walking in the full potential of your benefits as a child of God? What are some of the benefits that God's given us? Let's look at Psalm 103. Because, you know, your benefit package is part of who you are now. Just turn to Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Notice, he starts off by talking about his benefits by blessing God. See, when you want to tap into your benefits, praise will get you right there. Praise is the way that you unlock God's benefits. Amen? Praise and faith. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. You know that you're forgiven of all your iniquities, all your mistakes, all your shortcomings. You're forgiven. So by faith, you've got to receive forgiveness. God's already included it in his benefit package. Say, I'm forgiven. And because you're forgiven, now you can take that forgiveness and share it with someone else. If God's forgiven you, then you can forgive people who hurt you. Verse 4, and who heals all your diseases. How many diseases? Healing is a benefit. It belongs to you as a new creature. Healing belongs to you. Sickness does not belong to you. Amen? Say, healing belongs to me. Sickness does not belong to me. When sickness comes in, you've got to consider sickness as a thief. You've got to treat it as such. You've got to fight sickness. Don't just accept it. Don't claim it. Don't talk about my sickness. Oh, really? You're taking ownership of sickness now. That's not in your benefit package. That does not belong to you. Amen? He heals all your diseases. Our God is a healer. He wants you healed, not sick. He redeems your life from destruction. Aren't you glad? You know, you were on a course of destruction until you met Jesus Christ. And he flipped the switch on the track and he caused you to change course. The train was running a collision course, but thank God that Jesus, the engineer, he got on that and he changed the track and he set you on a new course, one that's full of life. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Think about this now. You have a crown on you of kindness and tender mercy. Do you put your crown on every day? Do you wear your crown of kindness and tender mercy? Be ye kind to one another, Ephesians tells us. Tender-hearted, prefer one another before you, prefer your brother before yourself. He satisfies your mouth with good things. Aren't you glad that we have a God that satisfies you with good things? So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know you can have your youth renewed? Your vitality, your strength. You know, who was it? Anna, the prophetess? She was married for 7 years and then she was a widow until she was 84 years old. But she had a promise from God that she wouldn't go on and die until she saw the Lord's salvation. So she was hanging out in the temple. And, you know, Moses was in his hundreds when he climbed Mount Pisgah and he looked over the promised land because he couldn't go in, but he climbed and he looked over the promised land without binoculars. Think about it. Caleb was as strong when he was 85 as when he was 40. How can that be? His youth was renewed like the eagles. You know, God can renew your strength, your vitality. Just because you're a certain age doesn't mean you're incapable of doing what God wants you to do. Who told you that? That comes from the world system. Because they program you to retire. I don't find the word retire in the Bible. You keep on doing what you can until you go home. Amen? You fight the good fight of faith. You can pray. You can encourage. Amen? Because we're embracing the newness of life. Verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. So if you're feeling oppressed, don't worry, because righteousness and justice will be carried out on your behalf. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Say, our God is slow to anger. So if you're quick to anger, you're letting the old way of living take over. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We ought to, if God is slow to anger, then we ought to be slow to anger. Amen? He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, verse 10. Whew, that's good news. I don't know about you, but God does not deal with you according to your past. As far as he's concerned, the past is away. Old things have passed away. As far as he's concerned, your past has passed away. Amen? And let me just read this to you. This is from Ephesians 4, but it's a paraphrase. The old man, I'm just going to read it to you, then I'm going to close. The old man grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. He lies and gets angry and holds a grudge. Our former nature gives place to and sides with the devil. It steals, it is lazy, it has corrupted speech, it grieves the Holy Spirit, and is bitter, our old nature, okay? It allows itself to be malicious and unkind, a fornicator, unclean, covetous, and speaks foolishly. Our old nature listens to and tells bad jokes, worships idols, speaks empty words, and fellowships with darkness. But thank God, say, that's not me. Now here's us, our new man. This is according to Ephesians 4. The new man walks according to the Holy Spirit and not according to the mind. Our new nature shares in God life as it grows in the knowledge of God through a personal relationship. Our new nature embraces change as it develops in renewing our mind. It embraces new perspectives, thoughts, and thought patterns. You know, we got to change our thoughts and thought patterns if we want to change our behavior. If you want to change your behavior, you got to change the way you think first. If you don't change the way you think, you'll always do the bad behavior. Okay? Our new nature is willing to learn from others. Our new nature takes necessary steps to do what the Word of God says. Our new nature is truthful and quick to forgive when it is angered. It proactively resists the devil. It works hard to have something to give. It builds others up and nurtures its relationship with the Holy Spirit. The new man guards its mouth and watches the words it says. It is kind to others and prefers others before itself. Our new nature is gentle, considerate, and forgiving as it walks in love. That's just a paraphrase of Ephesians 4. Because that's where he tells us to put on the new man, which is created in Christ Jesus and true righteousness and holiness. So you're even fashioned. He threw away the old mold and he got a new one, amen? So Father, tonight, Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we embrace the newness of life. And from this point on, we're gonna commit to walk in the new way of living, to walk in a new and fresh anointing, to sing a new song, to walk by faith and not by sight in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for every person here, Lord, that they would just receive the benefits of the new man that you have given to us. Lord, I just thank you that we have the same rights and privileges as Jesus does. I thank you, Lord, that we are sons and daughters of you by faith. And we're going to pattern our lives after Christ. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I will follow you. I will talk as you talk. I will walk as you walk. I will please God as you please God. I will discipline my flesh as you have disciplined your flesh. I am crucified with you, Lord Jesus. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, he heard you pray that prayer. And if you meant that, from this moment on, things will be different. That doesn't mean you're going to do everything perfect. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. But you know what? We're striving for the mastery. When you make a mistake, here's two things that will keep you on track. Be quick to repent and quick to forgive. When you miss it, say, you know what? I missed it. Let me change that. Be quick to repent and quick to forgive, and that'll keep you on track. Amen? David messed up many times, but he was quick to repent, and he was called a man after God's own heart. Because when he was confronted with, when he was corrected, he received the correction, and he made the necessary changes, and God blessed him for it. Amen? So let's walk in the newness of life. The new life is fun. It's rewarding. It's awesome. Amen? You walk in these benefits. You take them as yours. You take ownership of them. Because that is the new you. Amen. God bless you. And if you have an offering for tonight, you can put it in the offering container. And if you can make it on Sunday, we'd love to have you. And I just love and appreciate you so much. Amen. And let's just encourage one another to keep up the Christian walk. You know? God bless you. Have a good night.